Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We are abbreviated one-hour show. So I've got about 57 minutes to share with you tonight. But guess what, beloved? Tonight is open mic night. Join us for this first of open mic where we relinquish the floor to you, our listening audience, for you to share with us what's on your mind. We're going to keep it clean, keep it in order, and we're going to make sure that we have some substantive dialogue. That's it. You got the floor, though. You got the floor. We extend it to you. I expect Pastor Wallace to join us here shortly, but nonetheless, you and I, we're here. It's open mic night. And we invite you to share with us. Our schedule has changed a little bit, so we have cut back from our two-hour show, and we're endeavoring to maintain an hour. From time to time, Pastor Waller might keep you going. He may be available to keep you going for our two-hour spot. But nonetheless, we're grateful to have you on this 7 o'clock hour right here on Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and we're glad to have each and every one of you. What's the number to call? Give them the number, 383-0944. That's the number to call. What can they call you from? Well, they may be listening on Facebook Live. They can call me if they want to. They're checking us out and listening in to it. 657-383-0944. Or they may be on the Blog Talk Radio platform. It doesn't matter. They may be somebody who's heard us before, you understand? But you can feel free to give us a call here. What do you do, Doctor? Every Tuesday night from 7 o'clock p.m. at least to 8 p.m. and Thursday night from 7 o'clock to 8. All right? That's what we strive. So check in with us here. How can they reach you if they want to ask you a question, they want to bring a new idea on the show, they want to be a guest? Well, they can send me an email at bfcinstitute.com. bfcinstitute@gmail.com. Again, that's bfcinstitute@gmail.com. And then we'll take it from there. All right. Having said that, we're moving forward. It's open mic. And, again, the phone number to call us right now, it's your time, 657-383-0944. But while we do that, you know, we started out focusing on understanding and seeking ways that we can provide substantive information, particularly to young men, and since our focus has been urban America, and we want to plant a seed in urban America. What is that seed? It's a seed that we pray will germinate and permeate neighborhoods that will render economic strength and development, empower individuals to control their quality of life, establish them in ways that they never have been before. Do they have to be a college graduate? No. Could they have gotten caught up and have a record? Yes, they can. So there's no limit to it, right? That's what we want to do with Talk Straight moving forward in the year of 2021. Let it be done in 2021. That's our hidden theme, if you will. All right? So everything we do, we want to try to encourage and motivate that. We will be looking to try to open the door and have some guests on to join us in that regard and be witness there. So, 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. But look, we want to empower young folk to be in charge, to be your own boss. Listen to this brother right here, how he said it. Listen to him.
1, 2, get done.
Slip by me Tuesday, so you know time really do go by fast now, don't it?
Here it is, man, the 28th of January. Hey, look, time don't wait on us, big brother. It ain't going to wait on us. Look, if we don't do something with it, it'll be gone. It'll be gone.
That's right.
Anyway, well, you know, we strive to keep ourselves doing something proactive, positive, that's going to result into something. So, but brother here from Chicago made an interesting point about a discussion he was having earlier. And I'll let him kind of guide it. But what I heard him say is there's still this St. Louis' discussion. And I imagine that in an odd way, this is with these young guys that we're talking about, younger than us anyway, who we want to offer some guidance in terms of, you know, when do you step? When do you take control? And how do you do that? Especially St. Louis, if you're dependent on your female counterpart or your family or others. And in this age of COVID, everybody got shut down. Any comment on that, St. Louis?
Well, that existed before any COVID.
True.
And that just explains the dysfunction. I really beginning to believe that this, some of this dysfunction, there's nothing going to be done with. And I think it's hereditary. I think, see, you only talk about slavery from these shores. But what did those people do on the other side of the ocean that wound them up? Not all, but a lot on this side. And maybe just a continuation of karma. You know, the sins of the father follow the son. So I think you're going to, and a lot of societies have that too. It's more of a human nature than anything else. Mm. But I think that your return on investment only goes so far. It's just like raising chickens. So you raise chickens on a commercial farm. You can feed them for 48 days or maybe 52 days at the maximum because the amount of feed that you feed them, the cost, you won't be able to recoup that when you go to process that chicken and sell them for a consumable product. So you just feed them and it's just going right through.
Okay.
Well, that's a simple example.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Here's the thing, though. Nothing comes without a risk, right? And nothing comes without a challenge. What we try to do, 3661, is to be strategic, right? And we calculate the risk. And we try to augment that risk by coming up ways to avoid, you know, inevitable losses. You know, chances are you're going to put something and you're going to lose something, but the goal is to get more out than what you lose. But 61, can you see how, now, you know, we heard from our young brethren, and I've been in touch with them since then. Can you see how easy it is for good people now to stop and say, well, dang, I just don't know enough to be confident to move forward? And they miss out on enough. Can you see how easy that is, 61? And it's interesting you were having that conversation today with who you were.
Well, I believe that was that's my point. Well, I don't believe. I know that's my point, that a thought pattern or a training of thinking has been embedded in a class of people.
Mm-hmm.
And we to suggest that, you know, we can't get out of that, or that, you know, it's sins of our father, not knocking that thought, but at what point do we, you know, put down the taboo things and start being men and, you know, start disregarding some of this backwards thinking is the thing there.
Well, one thing, to your point, is necessary is what I call a clinical process or a home, if you will, where you go to divulge those ideas. You purge yourself of those fears, right? And you build the confidence in yourself. Now, that takes resources. But what it can yield is, again, a proactive process by which those who are fretful and those who are looking at what happened yesterday and the other people that fell off the wagon as it was moving, I don't want to be the one to fall. And I understand it. But one of the things I noticed, gentlemen, is the level of distraction in our society. It is so easy to dangle, if you will, a glittery object in the face of people, and especially those who are distracted heavily by sex, drugs, entertainment, all sorts of things. You understand what I'm saying? It's so easy to distract them. And in just a second, you can take their mind off of what they started doing. And before you know it, they done walked away from it and forgot what the priorities were they set out for themselves. How do you think you manage that? Anybody want to come into that? How do we manage that? I mean, they're chronologically grown. Can't treat them like babies. So. Anybody?
Well, I don't want to monopolize the conversation here.
You good, brother. You good. If he got something, he can come on in. It's just three of us right now.
I feel like I believe that how we do that is recognize the power that we have within ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to tap into that energy to, you know, find some kind of solace within ourselves, to recognize that you have a purpose, or you're somebody to contribute to society. Unfortunately, a lot of black males have been downtrodden and pushed to the side, and egos been beat to the point of no return for some of them, and they tend to buy into that. And then again, it's a learned behavior. It's taught to the children. The brothers mentioned the sins of their father sometimes follow the children. A lot of times they do, because if a person don't break a cycle, where do you go from there?
Yeah. Sure. And it sounds like you all were referencing Malachi 6 chapter 4, first verse. He would turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the children back to the father, except he might be cursed with a curse. And we certainly have some issues there, that's for certain. Yeah. On a larger scale, though, here's one thing that I've observed. There are a lot of people who I want to believe mean well, right? And they want to be involved. They want to sit at the table of policy making when it comes to ideas to help this population of people. And what we've seen over the last 30, 40 years is that because everybody was in the kitchen throwing something in the pot, that was a big mess of a meal, and everybody's still hungry. Now, is it, gentlemen, is it in order for one to say, okay, everybody can't be here? The room is restricted to certain individuals. We're getting somewhere now, because in reality, there are a lot of good-meaning people. Everybody don't belong everywhere, and you don't need everybody's influence on you if you're going to be successful. If you're going to be the boss, you don't need everybody's influence. Either one of y'all want to run at that, feel free to just jump on in there. Just jump on in there.
I'm very interested to hear what the elder from St. Louis has to say.
Well, that's true. Well, they do that in basketball. They do it in football tryouts, track and field tryouts.
Right.
And the purpose of those trials is because everyone don't belong there at that particular team and that particular level. And those that are found not to be acceptable is going to be told they come back again next time.
Or don't come back at all. You know, because the truth is St. Louis and 61, and we got Pastor Wallace joining us now. The truth is that you don't want, the goal is not for those who say they're helping, not for you to look good or feel good, right? The fact is really heavy lifting. It's for you to do what it takes to empower those to be independent and self-sufficient. And if most of what you're doing is engaged in pulling a bunch of people together who look good in the public for what they're doing, those become do-gooders. And you're not needing any, you're not changing anything. You're not facilitating any change. So you understand what I'm saying? People are always saying, we got to collaborate, man. We got to come together. Pastor Wallace, we got to come together. But when you get all us together, you ain't got nothing worth a quarter of Chinese money. What about that, Pastor Wallace? Have come together, man.
It don't take a whole lot, man. It just takes, the Bible says, where there's two or three gathered together in his name. You know, you gotta find out who to include, you know, and who to exclude. When you include him, you know, things are gonna work out. Period, bottom line. Maybe it's a tough time, but it's gonna work out. And if you got a lot going on, if you got a whole lot of people, and whatever the whole lot of people may be, if it's more than two, you got a whole lot. And if it's not of him, then it may go into the house. You know, I just rather take a chance on having him first. And that way, you know, no matter what the outcome is, I'll be all right with
you. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, this kind of relates. Go ahead. Somebody's going to say something. Go ahead. Who was that?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
Well, you know, those people that be feeding off, or should I say feeding you that we need to come together, is out there for only personal gain. You know, you hear people talk about, say, well, we need to have our own grocery store.
Right.
I'm on the phone. Okay. Yeah, I'm on the phone.
They say black folks need to have their own grocery store. Well, here's the thing with that. Presently, they're already shopping at somebody else's grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
We need to shop at our own grocery stores. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just a come on in order for somebody else to become profitable off of that. You got a couple of things going on there. One, they want you, and then they say, we need to put our money together. All right.
I've heard that. I've heard that too.
So you're going to put your money together for one person to go out and buy a store, and going to put in that store what you already buying from somebody else.
Right. Well,
and normally it's going to be more, because the people where you're buying it from has already got contractual agreement with suppliers because of the quantities that they purchase. So they're going to get the best price for the stock.
Okay.
So you're going to try to come in and buy the stock, and it's going to cost you more. So the people that's buying, you want people to come buy from you, and if they don't, you're going to say there's something wrong with their mind, and they need to be woken, they need to be awoke, need to be conscious. When they say, we need to have our own stores, they're talking about them, one person.
I see.
If you got 100,000 blacks in a community, well, all of them can't be store owners.
Okay.
It's just that one person that wants you to stop shopping at wherever you are and come shop with him and make him wealthy.
Okay.
At your expense. And in doing so, you're going to be paying more. You know you're going to be paying more because they put it in the hood. You're going to have conditions that make it expensive. You're going to have security. You're going to have to compensate for shoplifting. It may be robberies. Your insurance is going to be higher. And a whole host of things that's going to make it where you go to buy that package of smoked turkey wings for $4.99 at the other store, it's going to cost you probably $6.99 at his store.
Okay.
And there's other issues to go with that.
Sure, sure. Well, you know, Tuesday night, one of the things that I pointed out was, and I promised to send that the copy of that particular episode to young men, because there specifically we laid out some things to guide them in the process of finding those 10 people. Okay. And one of them was being selective about where you go. But another big piece was seeking righteousness and being in order, right? We talked about process leading to success. And at the end of the day, it kind of goes back to everybody don't need to be in your plan. You need to have a plan, because a failure to plan is a plan for failure. So you need to have a plan, but everybody don't need to be in there. And everybody don't need to know what your plan is, because they are individuals. They call them haters, 3661. And what they really want to do, get close enough to you to trip you up so they can say, okay, now I know you ain't going nowhere. Now, that don't sound good, but some of us been around and know that that's real. That happens. Pastor Wallace, if you're going to, we're running full press down the court, right? And you're ready to pass, to give a pass down in the paint. If everybody's down there on the other end of the court, who you going to throw it to?
Hey, Pastor, hold on just for a second. When it, you said, who you going to throw it to?
Yeah. If everybody's down there with you, ain't nobody in the paint.
Yeah, man. This is something that I was talking to his brother, and I was letting him know that I have a couple of books out. You know, if I didn't tell him, he wouldn't know. So, you know, who you gonna throw it to? You gonna throw it to the nearest man who's close to you, who may be able to catch it. If I don't say anything to this brother, that's a disrespect to him. At least I have something to offer. Now, we're talking about coming together, doing something. Is what I told you all was talking about. Now, when I came in, I heard that. So if you don't put the folks out and come together, then you'll do what the word says when it says division. And that means together we stand, but divided we fall. I'm going to say it's the word says, according to Psalm 133 and verse 1, he says how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to come together in unity. So
okay.
I don't want to come into unity with a negative vibe. If I come into unity with a positive vibe, bring it on. Because
okay.
The negative is going to be a whole lot of unnecessary things. It's not going to be good energy. So, you know, that's just where I'm at now.
I got you. But can you appreciate at the same time, Pastor, how important it is to be like Jesus when they came to him and they asked him about his brother and his sister? He stopped them and he posed a question to them. Who is my brother and my sister except them that does the will of the Father? And I think what the general message there is that everybody is not on board with the will of what's necessary in the vision. Does that make sense, Pastor Wallace? Okay, I think he's out and about. You follow what I'm saying, 3661? That
I do.
Want to
I do.
You, go ahead. Did you want to respond to that? Okay, yeah, we dropped
were you talking to me? Somebody?
Yes,
somebody was talking.
We dropped Pastor Waller was out and about, and we lost your probably
okay.
Call back there. I apologize for that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from with that. I was just kind of reflecting on what the brother from St. Louis was saying, no disrespect to that thought. But that's kind of the issue with us. And with that, I definitely understand what he's saying, because I have experienced what's supposed to be considered black stores or black-owned stores with the prices being as high or higher than the average
mm-hmm.
store.
Sure.
I think when I say we need to change our mindset, the idea is not for Stone Store not to be profitable.
Right, right.
Because it should be. But right. The idea on the other flip side is not for you to be beating people over the head either.
True.
With ridiculous prices and using different tactics, or, you know, I had to go through this to get it or whatever. Everybody got some kind of game, you know.
And you're using Unity as your okay.
As a ploy to do it.
Right.
The thing is, it wouldn't be difficult if you grew your own fruits and vegetables.
Mm.
You your own supplier there.
That's powerful. You
and you can sell it at your market price to whoever you want.
Absolutely.
And that's that creates another job for another black person.
Absolutely.
Somebody got to try.
Say what? Yeah. And okay, somebody got a package, don't it?
Somebody got a package.
And who's gonna?
But when we get in the mindset, of this crab barrel mentality that you know, or you, as you said gracefully, the hate. Where you know I'm not trying to make him rich. Well, it's not about making him rich.
It's about
generating wealth in a particular community, so everybody can be rich or at least be able to make it.
So can he not be the owner then? Can he not own it then? And won't
he? He should own it.
Provide to own who owns it. Won't he get rich? Hey, 3651 Don is owned from Selma, Alabama, and it's interesting because you were talking about you were using the analogy of having a distribution center, right, for agricultural production. And suppose Don had the farm. He planted, cured it, and harvested it, right? And he was our primary supplier. And who was going to distribute it to? Don? Welcome to the talk show, Don. It's open mic night tonight, Don. So, Don, who is there a limit to who we distribute it to? Does it just have to go
No, it isn't, Mr. Docker. In the free market system, you know, the best buyer, you know what I'm saying? And I was going to say, I love what the brother was just saying. You know what I'm saying? And it's, I don't see why people can't see that. And, Mr. Docker, you've been, guess who I done got in contact with, done really just done made me start thinking? That's Jean Cohn. Jean Cohn called me, Mr. Docker, and she done revealed some things to me. And it made me start to just what the brother was talking about. It's not the complexion of our skin. Are we practicing divine principles? You know what I'm saying? She done pushed me to that point. And when I say that, she took me back to my dad's process, and we was going back over it with the seed and everything. And what we was discussing is, it's not the complexion of skin. Are we being principled, practicing people? You know what I'm saying? Because what she got me at, Mr. Docker, right now, where I see all African-American Democrats right now, males, I'm going to be honest with you, all males this part say they Democrat, I see you as a bisexual now.
Oh, boy.
She done pushed me to that. She done pushed me to that point. Because what they're acting out of is not out of, they're acting out of character, not in character, like the brother said, and practicing certain principles that will manifest a divine result within the community.
Mm-hmm. Well, for sure. Now, you've heard me say plenty of times, Don, that your life, your identity, right, and your sense of purpose and direction should not be beholden to any political party as a man.
That's true.
You ought to be able
That's
to
true.
Don't wear. And anytime any particular group or say, even if you belong to an organization, it should not guide you. You should make a contribution to it such that it is you that make it worth something, not the organization that builds and makes and sustains you. Does that make sense, gentlemen? Because what a lot of people do is they, even the concept of being black, it becomes a shield to hide behind when we say all black people do such and such. That means I don't have to step out and I don't have to be independent. I don't have to be responsible. I don't have to be accountable because I can hide behind being what? Being
black.
Right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
The reality is first you ought to be a man. That's why Tuesday night I talked about first seek ye the kingdom and his righteousness. And what? All that other stuff will come if you put yourself in order. And that's where these young cats that are running around right now, gentlemen, void of understanding, behind on social, emotional development, and constantly bumping into each other over the same thing, right? What they really need is for somebody to arrest them from themselves, place them in a therapeutic environment where they can purge themselves all the foolishness that they've learned for 18, 19, 20, 30-some years. They need to be purged of that. And almost like Nicodemus, they got to be born. Whew, I didn't come to preach. But they got to be born again, man, because they got a bunch of garbage in them. And you need to go and have an enema from a good purging. Get it out. Get all
Mr.
the garbage out of you. Yes, sir.
What you're saying, and today I just left a bunch of young men. They sit around and play games, you know, like those video games. They smoke weed and they
right.
talk. But but how, like you said, how do you bust into their world and introduce them to a world of productive Christ-like life? You understand what I'm saying? And you got to have a community that's willing to take them there. It's not saying they won't go there, but you got to have a community that's there. That's manifesting that they can see that and be a part of it. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. So let me.
You got another problem too.
Come on. What do you see? What do you see that thing, Lewis? What do you see?
See, if people do things that's based on their shared. They do things with those based on their shared values and interests.
Okay. Well, explain it to us a little bit.
For instance, the gentleman in Chicago, I don't know if he's in the western part with Daddy Davis district, Chicago congressperson.
I'm familiar.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I wouldn't spend money at a business that donates to Daddy Davis.
Okay.
Because Danny Davis is for policies that hurt my interests.
Okay.
You follow me? It don't make sense. You're going to contribute on this hand, but they're going to turn around and contribute off of their hand to an individual who's enacting policies that goes against your interest and really hurts you. Case in point.
Okay.
Look at all the people that's losing their employment because of today's Washington group's idea on fossil fuels.
Okay.
All.
Okay.
We're talking about upwards of 15 million.
Yeah.
So if they went in and pulled the lever for a particular politician, and they should know or did the research on what they stand for, now you got to reap what you sow.
Well,
and that's just the way it is in today's climate.
Okay. All right. Now let's put the oil where the squeak is. We're really talking about a population. We're trying to provide answers and guidance for a population who honestly and frankly care very little about political activities, right? Now, I'm not saying they shouldn't or they should not, but that's the reality. And as far as they're concerned, I remember when Pastor Waller was saying, when he was in his groveling in his sin bin and his thing, he didn't know nothing about no politics or who was the president and all that stuff, right? That's the last thing to think about. And in reality, these people are not even conscious of the forces and the things that are controlling their day-to-day life. largely because they're not even awake to their own potential. You're walking around like the living dead, with all due respect, because you're not even conscious of the potential that you have to turn not only your life, but your whole neighborhood around, your community around. And everybody just walking around in darkness, just looking for the next good feel, the next high, if you will. And that don't necessarily mean drugs, but the next high. You know, and that's really where we, that's what I mean by purging yourself of these things, particularly for young men. Brother 3661 made a good point, and that is there seems to be a concerted effort to discourage independent masculine thought, thought among young brothers. Go ahead, sir.
Can I interject? And if I can,
yes,
if I can,
yes, sir,
have poetic license.
Okay, this is a therapy. This is an academic discussion. So granted.
That's the BS. I'm trying to keep it light because I don't want to disrespect the clergy on the phone. That's the BS, I think, that controls us. We are so busy about politicians and politics of the world and don't even realize, like you say, how it affects us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm not concerned about what Danny Davis eats. I'm wise enough to know that Danny Davis, Ronald Reagan, Donald Trump, President Biden, none of them feeds me off their plate. I feed them.
What? They eating off you, huh? Okay.
They eating off me. And when we don't realize how much power we have if we're talking politics,
yes, sir.
That puts us in a revolutionary political, so you don't have to worry about Danny Davis or fossil fuel or what somebody else's agenda is when you don't even have one of your own. Get an agenda for yourself. Get wealth amongst yourself.
Right.
So collaborate. So we can collaborate together and be fine. We can be better or just as well as other folks living. We're living under substandard conditions because of our mentality.
Yes, sir. You know, you had chills going down because you took me back to when I worked in the prison at Riverbend Maximum Security. That was almost 30 years ago, man. And I never will forget it. I was working the rec yard, and I had a glimpse of the power that's locked down, Don, in the prison, because it was over 200 men that walked right past me in a straight line, and all that energy, big old muscle-bound brisket. I'm like, God, dog. Just imagine, Don, these dudes were working collectively in their communities, in their neighborhoods. They were from different parts of the state. You see what I mean? It was something to see all of the energy that is really wasted, locked away.
Well, you got plenty to choose from. You have over 800,000 in prison that look like you.
Yeah, absolutely. And there I was, St. Louis. I was a younger man then. And the only difference between me and old cats was the clothes we wore. I wore a uniform with a badge, and they had a prison uniform on.
So if you survey them and see what quality they don't have, just something as simple as reading. Why come they not learn to read?
Right.
And we can't say it's somebody else. We can't say it's white folks' fault, because in these inner city school districts, blacks control them.
They should.
I disagree with you on that one.
That's what the law says. I can read you Missouri state statutes of what it says.
Who
and also the Missouri Constitution.
Who makes the law, sir?
The law is written as it is.
It's not just written. Somebody has to put some input in. Come on now.
Well, the law says this. It says your curriculum, textbooks, and teacher instruction can be whatever the district wants it to be, the district being the people.
Oh, okay.
The state statute says the same thing about your government and your police. It says that is controlled by that municipality.
Okay. Can I ask a question
now,
to you?
Hang on for a second. If it tells you that that's what you can do, whatever you want to, with that curriculum in that school district or that school building, all we do is check, and it says that the State Board of Education and the Department of Education cannot mandate anything to that district.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
To you. But when you have an ass backwards person that have no clue about what it means to be educated, what it means to be an individual to have input, how is that possible that they're going to control anything?
Well, they go out and hire $350,000 a year superintendents.
Did you hear my question?
Yeah, I heard your question. They know how to start, in your case in Chicago, a Barbara Sizemore African Center school. But when they cure them a test, they can't read.
His point, though.
I took a communication class in a university in Chicago. And what I found interesting about the communication class is that they had a particular test design for people. And one of the questions on the test was, when Johnny and Willie was walking down the street and the hawk had blue on them and they both ran because of the hawk, the question was, what does the hawk mean?
Well, let me ask you a question. I've seen questions.
No, wait, hold on.
On tests.
Just hear me out for a second.
Well, yeah, we know about what used to be cultural bias tests, but they don't exist today. That says three places, yes, they do. I know very well Chicago, Northeastern University with Jake Carruthers. Wait a minute. Jake Carruthers and Conrad Worrell. I used to be a member. I'm a member of the National Black United Front. I know well about those things. But I'm telling you, yes, Aisha Hiller, but he's passed. Those cultural bias tests is not like that anymore. You got three-place multiplication. It's 395 times 547. What's cultural bias about that?
Well, mathematics has never been culturally biased.
Yet, but these kids are scoring at the bottom in that.
Well,
so I ain't getting into an argument. What I'm saying, and what my experience is, that these tools to make things better exist, and Ruben know that my idea is to help those young people that are doing the things that they should be doing and coming from functional families. See, your problem is this. The problem is this. Like these ones that's in prison. You can't – they pretty much written where they are. But to put things back in place where you have functional families where children come from, a mother and a father – and they're providing them, not only the parents, but the family, providing them with the resources that they need. They have a plan and a direction. That there takes a lot. And once it's broke, it takes a long time to get that back together. I mean, that's just a fact.
Hey, guys, listen. We got about 9 minutes. I apologize. Pastor Waller, you there?
I am.
Can you hear me? Okay, good. Listen, check this out. This is a great discussion. I run an insurance agency. I own an insurance agency, gentlemen, and so I've had to modify my schedule quite a bit.
You say a word count?
Yeah, I do. We can talk about that. I sure do. But Pasquale, if I could, I would like to extend our conversation next week for 2 hours. If you can kind of lead that discussion, that's a great discussion that y'all are having right now, because those are some of the factors, St. Louis and 3661 in Chicago. Those are some of the major factors that you're talking about as to why you find yourself always excluded. But this show is going to go out in about 9 minutes. I want to give everybody a chance to have the final word.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a powerful discussion that really needs to be had. Why is it, with all these opportunities out there, that yes, St. Louis, you're right, technically they got the power. But what brother's saying from Chicago is, if you don't know you got it, it's like a tree falling in the forest. I mean, what's the point of it? But that's a very powerful discussion. Pastor, I would like if you could lead that discussion for us next week. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm all right with it. You know, whatever you need me to do, it's all.
Okay.
I had to step away just for a moment, and it was a guy.
No, we understand.
That I talked to, and what happened, this guy shared something with me, and in the midst of him sharing it with me, he said these things. He said, I've been in prison. Called me Dan. He said, and now that I've been released, they call me Hallelujah. and so, you know, what made him say that to me, in other words, he found out they had a book out about my life. So not only did he buy one, he bought both of the books. And
wow.
He said that kind of touched him. He said cheers went all through him when he realized what I had been through. And then he shared with me that while he was in there, he used to have the guards in there. And they weren't even supposed to be in no fellowship with each other. And he had them in there, you know what I mean, in other words, connected with him. So what I'm saying is that no matter whether you're in prison or not, if you get hooked up with the Almighty God, this brother went from being called dying, and I know where he was coming from in the street, you know, give me a dying bag, give me this right here. That brother said when he got out, they started calling him Hallelujah, which means he was getting the highest praise. So when you put God first, brother, no matter what the situation is, you know, for those that don't know that, I thank God for what the brother shared with me. He didn't even know me, but he purchased two books. And that's the reason why I had to step away for just a moment. But, yeah, man, great conversation that you have. I appreciate that.
Well, I would love to extend on that because it is important, as St. Louis is making a good point, and I was glad for the dialogue between here and Chicago because the reality is it's possible for you to have something and not use it, and it's tenement to you not having it. You can have something, not use it, and it's tenement to you not having it, equal to just might as well not have it at all. And that's what I mean by the lost potential that goes away and is thrown away. It's 6 minutes to go. I regret that we've abbreviated, but we got to do what we got to do. I got to go crunch some numbers tonight before I go to bed, so I got to cut y'all loose, brother. let's start with you, Don. My final word before we get out of here?
Y'all was having some very good discussion. I was going to say something. I'm going to drop this on to the brother was talking about Danny. Somebody said Danny Davis had something to do with the Martin Luther King Monument in the 24th Ward. And my friend Gene said, no, Danny didn't have to do that. Bill Henry did that. So people get mistaken on who really makes stuff happen in the community, who's really active, not what the news media tell you. You understand?
And that's what's
wrong with our community. You understand? We watching TV. Quit watching TV and let's get close to each other and start loving each other. And Mr. Dockery, matter of fact, on April the 4th, I've been invited to go to Chicago to do a Martin Luther King thing on at Stone Chapel. So as Rena said, let's get together. Let's keep being active. And Mr. Dockery, guess what? The FBI is looking for me. I don't know what for, but I think we done hit something. Because guess what? It ain't about Trump. It ain't about Biden. It's about us.
Okay.
Let's get clear.
Right.
It's about us.
Absolutely right. All right. Thank you, Don. Thank you. I appreciate that. What about it, Dale? 3661.
I appreciate the dialogue, but I just think we need to start being a little more realistic and and recognize what the problem is and do something about it versus just talking about it and start making moves. It's easy for us to say this or that and the other and you know, kind of cast people out, like brothers in prison or whatever. A lot of guys in prison probably shouldn't even be there. I remember in history where people would go to jail for a life sentence for stealing bubble gum. The same old tricks happen still today. If you're not wise and not smart enough to know when you're being played, I just hope and pray that we get out of that.
Okay. Right, yeah. A lot of brothers get caught in that trap, and that's how they wind up in the prison system. It's a trap. It's a preset trap.
And you'd be surprised how many of them are smarter than the half the people outside of prison.
I've met a lot of them. Wow. Okay. Good point. Listen, Pastor, I'm going to throw that ball to you, man, and have you lead that discussion for us next Tuesday, and we'll open it up for 2 hours. Open it up for 2 hours there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I hate to cut us out,
Gabby.
St. Louis, final thought before we cut out?
In talking about supporting those who support interests that's against yours, if you look at this man, Mr. Davis' stance on education, do you support requiring states to adopt federal education standards? He said, yes. Yeah. I say, no, I don't want my children to be educated under those criteria.
Gotcha.
And the people, and see, here's the thing. The people that are electing these folks, I'm just talking about this one thing. Well, at what point in time do they realize that something is wrong? Well, most of the times they do, but guess what do? They run. They react with their feet. They move out of the place, out of the district. Think about this. Your smartest and brightest leave. They have to be, because they was able to do the research and understand what it is that they research, and in order to make a determination, I got to go.
Okay.
Anyway, I'll see you next week.
We appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. All right, Pastor, you got yourself, we got a curriculum for next week, man. We got a curricula. So thank you all, gentlemen. With that being said, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Waller for final thoughts. We'll be back next Tuesday. I'll dip in, but Pastor Waller's going to lead the discussion because I won't be able to stay the whole 2 hours there. And we're going to have Pastor Waller lead the discussion for us there. All right, Pastor, wrap us up for the night.
Yeah, we thank God for everybody who had a chance to talk and for those who were just listening. You know, it's always good to know that there's power in togetherness, no matter whether you're doing right or wrong, good or bad. But today, I would like to suggest, because God made this day, it was He who made it, not we ourselves. So when the Word says this is the day that the Lord has made, He tell us to rejoice, be glad in it. So there's no need to shut off for tomorrow.
No.
That's why He said, well, there's two or three gathered together in His name, touching and agreeing, that He would be in the midst of us. Let's keep Him first and watch everything work itself out. I yield back to you on that note, Pastor.
I love the dialogue tonight, and we'll come back on it next Tuesday, 7 o'clock, and we'll keep the 2 hours open to really hit at it there. Thank you all, and on behalf of Pastor Ricky Waller and myself, Pastor Dockery, we thank you for joining us on Talk Street here tonight. You got to pay the cost to be the boss. If you want to do anything, you got to be willing to put some work in there and pay for it. That's the bottom line. And we wish everybody are able to do that. So,
you know what?